1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to pick up the reading in verse number 23. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Brother Carl, could I get you to pray for us, please?
With gracious Heavenly Father, we gather in fellowship to worship and exalt You. We pray that You are exalted here in this room today, Lord. And we want to give us, we want to ask You to give the pastor unction as he delivers this message to us today, Lord. And we pray that we should be edified with this spiritual nutrition, Lord, so that our bodies, our spirits can be fulfilled, and we can get out and help disseminate the gospel to everybody we meet this week.
Yes.
Be possible, Lord, that the seed of the gospel be sowed and come to You for Your glory. We ask this in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. 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 I want to talk to you on the subject this morning of the Lord's Supper. And the context here is, if you'll notice in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Be followers of Me as I also am of Christ." And he's talking about setting things in order, keep the ordinances in verse 2. And in the last verse of that chapter, he said, "The rest," in the bottom of that verse 34, "will I set in order when I come." So when Paul is talking here, this church of Corinth is out of order. And he's trying to get things back in order. And what happens is a lot of these people are thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And what happens is everybody nowadays think they're the best, you know. Y'all may have heard about the little boy. He was outside and he didn't have anybody pitching the ball. So the little boy was pitching the ball up, and he pitched that ball up like this, and he swung, and he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And he pitched that ball up again, and he missed it again. He said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And he pitched it up again. It came down. He missed it again. He said, "Wow, what a pitcher." Yes, sir. He thought, no matter what, he's the greatest. You know what? That's what's wrong with the world today. Everybody thinks they're the greatest. Everybody thinks, "Wow, it's me. Look at me go." And what happens is this Lord's Supper is supposed to be focusing on the Lord. And what happens is you get to the place in your life, and these Corinthians had gotten to the place in their life when you read these verses, these chapters here. It's kind of like this. Have you ever had those binoculars? I know I had some when I was a kid. And instead of, you know, you're supposed to be looking like this with the little end in towards your eyes, and it magnifies everything. So you know what we do? We turn them around and we look at our life. We turn them around like this right here, and you see your life like way, way out there, like everything's real small and you're really not doing anything. But when you look at somebody else, you turn it all, the magnification all the way up, and you look and you say, "Oh, I see what all they're doing. Oh, that's what's going on." You know what happens? That's what's going on here.
That's right, sir.
It's you're seeing at a time here, instead of focusing on the Lord, they got the wrong focus of others.
Yeah.
Now you know what this thing here to show you? If you want the right focus of others, if you're focusing on the Lord right, you'll have the right focus with other people.
Right.
The thing is the focus is so off of the Lord. Nobody's got their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody else says, "Well, I'm doing pretty good." Why? Because you're actually judging your life by what the other man's doing and what that family's doing, what they're doing over there. But whenever you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and compare yourself to someone who's perfect, then you start saying, "Ugh,
I need to check up. It's me. It's me, Lord, me, not someone else. All right, so this thing here, you say, what's this got to do with resurrection? Folks, Christ came and He lived a sinless life and He died on the old rugged cross and He was buried and He rose again the third day so we can have a victorious Christian life here and we can go see Him one of these days. That's what's the blessing about it. And we get a time to examine here. That's why the resurrection is wonderful. But I'm not going to just stop there and say, okay, He rose from the dead. Well, that's great. Actually do something about it. Now, man, you can have $1 million in your pocket, but if it just stays in your pocket, it's not going to do any good. We can talk about the resurrection till we're blue in the face, but if we don't do something about it and apply it, it's no good. So the first thing I want you to see is the significance of the Lord's Supper. And that's talked about in verses 23 through 26. Number one, I want you to see the broken body. The broken body. Well, verse number 24, He said, "This is My body which is broken for you." You know what He's saying? This is doing remembrance of Me. You know what? I got that underlined. Because He says, it's broken. But not just broken. He says, for you. Now, if you want to focus on yourself, realize something. He did something for you. He literally broke His body. He got up on that cross and every bone came out of joint. And He broke His body for you. He took that beating for you. The crown of thorns were placed on His head for you. And people say, man, I just want to look at myself. Okay, look what Christ did for you. Amen. And somebody says, well, nobody loves me, you know. Christ loved you enough at Calvary.
Amen.
And if you want to find love, you'll find love at Calvary. Everybody's looking for love now. They found in Christ at Calvary. You can't find a greater love than that right there. And it's all found in Christ, and you get it at Calvary. Well, His body was broken for you. I can't even get into this, but I want to give you a couple of for yous. John 14, 2 and 3, He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Man, why, I got a mansion over the hilltop over there. Little old house. Well, cabin out by the side. No cabin. It's a mansion. Yes, Lord. Great big mansion over there. You say, well, you don't look too rich now. Hey, your home's not too impressive now. Well, yeah, but you ought to see the one I've got. It's on the other side over there. I'm going to get it later on. Why? For you, He said. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what's so significant about that? We're examining ourselves and everything, and the emphasis is placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said these words to the likes of Simon Peter. He said, "I'm going to prepare a mansion for you," before Simon Peter denied Him three times. You ever thought about that? Before doubting Thomas, you know. He knew all those things were good. Y'all, that's why the emphasis is placed on Christ. Why? He knew all those things and He still said, "I've got a mansion prepared for you." Why? You'll find forgiveness in the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not going to find forgiveness among this world. This world don't care whether you live or die. Do you ever realize you're going to live and die your life? Let's say you lived 100 years. 99% of the population not even going to know you ever even existed. But Christ knows. Christ knows. You know what He said over there? He said, in 1 Peter, He said, talking about for you, 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you."
Amen.
Man, that's a blessing. Why? Well, nobody cares. Christ cares. You can come to Him. He said, "Do this. Why? My body was broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me," that He did something for you. He said, "Well, people just don't do anything for me. They take too long at the restaurant. And they don't fill up my tea right." Y'all, I'll tell you something, that gets me. You know, I'll be there. And man, you talking about getting under conviction. We do think we're real spiritual, you know. "Well, she didn't fill up my tea glass." That's a real big problem, you know. Folks starving in countries and things like that. People can't pay the bill. And we didn't get our tea glass.
Amen.
We said, "They ain't done something for me." The ultimate thing was Christ breaking His body for you. Y'all, that's something to be excited about.
Right.
The Lord of glory. The Lord of glory coming down and breaking His body.
That's right.
Now let me tell you something. All of y'all, you think, "Well, I'm ultra spiritual," you know. And you don't say that out loud, but you think. And let me ask you this. Would you, for your enemy, somebody had been talking bad about you, you know they was living like the devil. Would you go out there and break your body for them? No, no. But Christ knew every bad thought you were going to have, every wicked deed you were going to do. That's why you will not find a greater love that was manifested at Calvary. You won't find it out here. And people, God loves you. All this, y'all, He loved you so much He died for you at Calvary. You can't find a greater love than that. That's the blessing of broken for you. I knew I'd spend too much time on that, but you could talk about Calvary. Man, I'll tell you something. God cares. Why? He broke His body for you. The broken body, number two, the shed blood. The shed blood, man. He shed His blood for you. The blood of God, Acts 20, verse 28, was shed for you on Calvary. Listen to this. You got this right here. The shed blood, number one, the cup. That cup. Listen to this verse. Just listen. Matthew 26, 39, speaking of Jesus, and He went a little further. That's what He always goes further than what you'll go. He said, and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You know what? You say, what's that cup right there? Well, the Bible defines it in the Old Testament. I'm just going to give you one verse out of many. Jeremiah 25:15 says, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. It's the fury, the wrath of God. When Christ was talking about that cup, He said, I'm going to take the wrath of God. Now, I tell you something, I've seen some tough individuals. I feel like I have anyway. And man, I'll tell you something, you get them mad, and brother, you just won't get out of their way. But you get God mad.
That's right, brother.
And you get God's wrath upon sin. That's why when Christ said, this cup I'm going to take is awful. Why? He had to place His wrath upon sin on that cross, and He did that for you. You don't ever have to question God's love. You don't have to question what did God think about it. Why? Because Christ Jesus came and bore the wrath of Almighty God on the cross. It was dark for 3 hours on the cross, and no telling what transpired there. The Bible said He was made sin for us. I'll tell you something, there's a lot in that statement. Y'all, the wrath of God was poured out. Why? The shed blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you the thing. You got the cup, and because He took the cup, you've got a covering now. You say, yeah, I'm about to fly off here in a minute, man. You got a covering there. Why? Listen to this verse. Romans 5 and verse 9, it says, Much more then, being now justified, watch this, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Guess what? Because He took the wrath of God on the cross, you don't have to worry about the wrath of God being placed on you. Why? Because the blood covers nothing but the blood, we say. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Y'all, when you trust Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than that of Abel. It's speaking on your behalf. He said, man, that'll fill you with joy. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, well, I've sinned. Yeah, but you come short of the glory of God. I see you outshine a star sometime. You ever tried that? The heavens declare the glory of God. You come short of His glory.
That's right.
Can you outshine a star? Of course not. So guess what? Not only am I a sinner, but I come short of His glory, but because of the shed blood of Jesus. Woo! I'll tell you something. That'll bless your heart. That'll bless your heart. Wow, I've got the blood that covers. Wow, He said, this do in remembrance of me. Wow, look here. Man, when you eat with somebody, I like to eat. We're going to go eat, Lord willing. He don't come back between now and then. We're going to go eat here in a little while, and I'm going to enjoy and have fellowship. You can have fellowship in what? Putting Christ first. He's saying you need to get in fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord, remembering what He done for you. Y'all, when you remember what He done for you, yeah, there's a negative point. Christ died and He's buried. But then when He rose again, that gives me joy. It gives me sorrow knowing what my sin did, but at the same time it gives me great joy knowing that I'm going to be with my Savior. Man, that's a blessing. You got the covering, not only that, a shed blood, but you got the hope of the believer in verse number 26. He says, For as often as... He don't say, you know, the Bible said they broke bread from house to house. Breaking bread's eating. It's defined over and over in Acts of that. He said, as often as... Now, let me tell you something. He says, often as, but I want to tell you something there. It didn't say as seldom as. It ought to be done quite often, too. Now, if you did it every week, then you get to where, well, Lord's Supper, you know. But often, it's an often thing. Why? You eat often, don't you? Well, you can fellowship with the Lord often. He said it's all. Why? To keep that thing in remembrance. It ought to be an often thing there. Why? To keep you ready Why? Because he said he's coming again. You got to realize it's a table. The table, one end of it looks back to what he did, and the next end of the table looks forward to what he's going to do. He's coming there. Verse number 26 said, you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Some people say, well, you know, Christ started to come. Why are you taking the Lord's Supper then? He said, you do it till he comes. Well, you know, he came. No, he didn't. He hadn't came yet. That's why we're still looking forward to him coming.
Amen.
Well, that looks forward to his coming. Man, I tell you what, that gets me excited. Why? I know one of these days he's going to split that sky wide open and come for me. And you think we're shouting now. That old preacher right there, he's crazy, man. They're just doing all that shout. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to strip a gear with these vocal cords. He's going to give me a brand new set. I'm going to be excited, man, to see. It keeps you ready. I want to give you one thing here. Apostle Paul was ready. In 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. Listen to this. And the time of my departure is at hand. Why did he say offered? Romans 12:1-3 said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. People say, I'd die for the Lord. Yet you won't live for Him. It said a living sacrifice. You're supposed to live for Him. Y'all, let me tell you something. Dying's easy. You just lay down. Why? Because you're not going to feel it. Your body will feel a little bit of pain, but once you pass off, once you kick this body off, man, you're never going to feel pain again.
Amen.
But man, you got to live for Christ. Why? It's a living sacrifice. He said, I'm ready to be offered. Let me ask you this. Are you ready to be offered for the Lord? Why? You know, He can come back any minute.
Yeah.
Y'all, offer your body for Him. Do something with Him. Don't just have these hands and these feet and these eyes and these ears and this nose and just live for yourself all the time. Why? Because it's going to make you miserable. The most miserable people, if you're in this room, you're living for yourself. I don't have to ask you. I don't have to ask anybody else. You're miserable.
That's right.
Why? Because God didn't give you this life to live it for yourself. He gave this life for you to live it for Him and to help others.
Amen.
The word, are you supposed to live for your brothers? Others, the word others is in brothers.
Right.
Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, let me live for others. That I may live like thee. What, he laid down his life for others. You got to see there that there is a readiness there. Are you ready? Not only the significance of it, but the seriousness of it. Verse 27. Y'all want to listen real fast. Now, second gear. I'm gonna catch gear here. All right. Lack of discernment. Lack of discernment. And 11. Verse number 29. And I want you to see something real. Interesting here. This is where a lot of people burn out their clutch plate and strip of gear and everything else on this chapter because they don't realize this. It says in verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Now let me stop right there. Is anybody in here worthy? Nobody in here worthy? I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. So what makes you worthy? He's going to explain it to you in the passage. And man, I tell you, you got to get this down. He says, eateth and drinketh damnation. Now that damnation is like condemnation. Jump down to verse 34. It says that ye come not together unto condemnation. And it's kind of like in Romans 14 where he says, you're damned if you doubt while you eat. You say, well, what are you talking about? You got to look at the context of a word. That damnation there has to do with a condemnation. Let's just think about it. You say, was there ever a time in the Old Testament or anywhere in the Bible I can get an example where somebody doubted while they eat? Here's Jacob. And you know what? He had deceived, and he gets deceived. So you know what? He's got Isaac. My bad. You got Jacob. He's a deceiver, him and Esau. And Jacob disguises himself like Esau, his brother. And Isaac feels of Jacob's arm, and he said, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. You know what? Instead of going by words, he went by feelings, and he was deceived. You know what that's showing you right there? He got under condemnation, and he lost a lot of stuff because of that. You know what he's showing you here? If you don't discern this right thing here, you can get condemned in certain things, and it can mess you up spiritually.
Yeah.
Now, what's he saying? What's he saying here? Look here what he says. Verse 29, it said, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, if y'all got your Bible open there, let's see what the Lord's body is. Is the Lord here right now? He's not here. He's up there. So what's the Lord's body? Look at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, in verse number 27. You got to see this. And I'm trying to get a breath while we're getting while we're looking at this. I'll tell you something, man. This stuff right here, I liberate you. The seriousness of it, there's lack of discernment. Because why? People aren't discerning the Lord's body. Look at chapter 12, verse number 27. Real simple.
Amen.
English. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, he said not discerning the Lord's body. What's the Lord's body? The Lord's body was broken for you, okay? There, but he's not there, so guess what? You're the body of Christ. Christ's not here. You're the body of Christ. So guess what he's saying? You're not discerning the Lord's body? You know what was going on? You read that chapter over there in the early part of that chapter. Some of them were bringing food and they were saying, hey, we got more. This is the way they did Lord's Supper. Everybody would bring a little bit of food. So some of them who were richer, they was bringing some and they done got to the point they was eating some, drink some, they done got drunk. Well, all of them lost their salvation, I guess. No, they didn't. You know you can't. But what he's saying is, y'all got to get right. If anybody could have lost it, they would have lost it, wouldn't they? But what he's saying is, you're not discerning the Lord's body. Why? Some of them were coming there doing that, and some of them were saying, hey, we don't have anything, we can't give anything. And there were divisions among them, there were doctrinal heresies among them, and they had all kind of schisms in the body. I didn't pronounce it right, did I? But they had divisions. Now what was it? They weren't discerning the Lord's body. Guess what? They were thinking they were better than other ones. And other ones were saying, we don't have this, we're actually more spiritual than you because you got some. We're more spiritual. No, you're not. You know what he's saying? You come together, and he said, you're not discerning the Lord's body, and he said, it's bringing damnation or condemnation on you. You know what's happening? They got to the place where they were saying, so-and-so could take it, and so-and-so can't take the Lord's Supper. That's what he's saying. He's saying over here that you can't tell who's right with God and who's not right with God. Only God can see the heart. He says, is there an example of that? Of course. You remember over there, whenever Samuel, God says, I want you to go down there and anoint another king. And Samuel gets to looking at David's brothers, and man, they come down, and one of them's real big and tall, and he said, that's got to be him right there. And God said, that's not him. He said, you're looking on the outside, God looks at the heart.
That's right.
And this little David come up there, and he was just a little ruddy fella. I don't know how small he was, but evidently he wasn't as big as his brothers anyway. And God said, that's the one. Samuel said, whoa, I never saw that coming. And you know what happened?
Yeah.
God can see the heart. You know what? Right. You can't tell who's right with God and here's who's not. Say, you can't say who can take the Lord's Supper and who can't.
Amen.
What's the deal? The requirement in the text right there is discerning the Lord's body is, are you saved? All right, and who's the worthy ones? The ones who are judging themselves. That's what the text is saying. Look what it says.
Amen.
It says this right here. It says, verse 28, but let a man examine his neighbor and make sure they're right with God, make sure they're saved and fruit inspect and everything. It said, let a man examine himself. And if you examine yourself, guess what? This makes you worthy to take. Why? And so let him, the one that examines himself, eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What he's saying is, if you can't take this supper, if you're saying, well, I'm better than so-and-so, he can't take it. He's not a member of my church. They can't take it. And you know, they don't believe quite like we do, so they can't take it. No, none of us agree 110% together anyway. If you're here today, you're not a member of the fellowship, still take the Lord's Supper. What is the qualification here? If you examine yourself, you say, well, I got sin in my heart. Lord have mercy. Every one of you in here got thoughts on your mind. Well, let's put your thoughts for the last 30 minutes up on the screen here and see what happens.
Amen.
I wouldn't be worthy. I'd be scared to death. No! What's going on? What he's saying is, if you examine yourself, come in there and examine yourself and say, Lord, I'm examining my heart. I know what you did for me. I know you broke your body for me. I know you shed your blood for me.
Amen.
And I know, Lord, that I need you. Have sin confessed. But guess what? That don't mean you quit everything. Ain't nobody in here's quit all your sin.
Amen.
You're going to walk out that door and sin again.
Yes.
Thank God for the shed blood. What he's saying is self-examination. Why? Don't examine your neighbor. They say, well, you know, we're fruit inspectors, you know. Matthew 7, I know where you're going. But guess what? That's false prophets is the context. It's saying you judge those false prophets. It never said, go over here and say, but Paul, I know who's saved and who ain't saved. Guess what? You're saved if you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Why? Because you may be like Peter. You may have a bad day. You may be like Moses. You may have a bad day. Don't go out and kill a man and hide him in the sand. But what I'm telling you is this right here. Every one of us falls short. But what he's saying is the context is saying self-examination. Are you examining yourself? Because if you don't, the sin that he's talking about is making out like you're better than everybody else, and you can discern who can and who can't take it. Why? That's what they were doing in the context. Why? The whole church was out of order. And some of them thought they were better than others, and there were divisions there. Some of them early in Corinthians, they said, well, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Well, we're of Christ. Some people think they got a monopoly on Christ, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is, he's saying, don't have those divisions. You let that person deal between them and God. Why? Because if you don't, let a man examine himself. If you don't, that's how you drink unworthy. Why? You're sitting there, and instead of realizing the forgiveness of God and how he died on the cross and how he broke his body and how he shed his blood, you're sitting there going, There they are taking, look, I know what they're doing. You old rascal, you. What if everybody else was doing that to you, and God knows what's in your heart? You can't examine everybody else. He said, examine yourself.
Amen.
So what makes you worthy to take that supper right there? Self-examination. Remember that Christ died for you. And guess what? If he forgave, why can't you forgive others? Yo, you got to realize, man, we look at everybody else under a microscope, and we forget that our own life has all kinds of problems in it. That stuff will get you in trouble. That Lord's Supper is there to realize what he did for you. I need to examine myself and not everybody else. Well, I'll tell you something. That right there, that lack of discernment, will put all kind of problems in your life. Why, if you're trying to figure out what everybody else is doing, let them deal. Let me tell you what you'll do. You'll make a bunch of enemies. You try to force yourself on everybody else and make sure you know what they're doing and you know what they really need to do. And let me give you a little advice over here. You better watch out. Unsolicited advice is never heeded. You got to wait till they come to you. And you know what you got to realize? Self-examination number two. The thing is that you got a lack of discernment, and you got the damnation in verse 30, and we talked about what that is. And that thing right there has got to do with many of you weak and sickly. You know what you have? Now, I'm going to tell you this. People who examine others, you'll find out they're weak spiritually, and they're sickly. And you know what? And some of them die. And that death is not always a physical death. You know what Abraham, but over in Luke 15, the prodigal son, he said, this my son was dead, and now he's alive again. Was he dead physically? No. He wasn't good for anything. He was out there, wasn't doing anything. Abraham and Roman said, this my body was dead. Was his body dead? It was useless. You know what? Some Christians, they get out there and they examine everybody else, and they can tell who can and who can't take it, and who believes right and who don't believe right and all this stuff. Guess what happens there? They get their own self. They're weak and they're sickly, and some of them die. Yeah, some of them get in such sin. Why? Because when you get your eyes off of Christ, you'll get out and sin you never thought you'd be doing.
That's right.
And you know what? That sin will kill you. That's the damnation you're talking about. It's not talking about over here, well, I took it, now I'm going to get struck with lightning. He's not talking about that. If this morning you can take the Lord's Supper and realize that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. We celebrate the resurrection. Why? It's a fellowship meal. It's about fellowship.
Amen.
You got to realize that. Why? Because if you don't, the whole thing, it'll be so stiff, you just be, they're scared to death. You got to realize God did all that stuff for you. Why? He wants to have fellowship with you. He knows we're all sinners. Now, guess what? What's the thing? Examine yourself. Say, right now I'm realizing what he did for me. And that he broke his body and shed his blood. Now, here's the last thing, is the self-examination. In verse 31, notice number one, it's personal. Verse 31, it says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, if you want God to leave you alone, you judge your own self. But if you start judging others, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to get you. He said, what are you talking about? I'm not putting chains on you, but I'm telling you this right here. God will take you out to the woodshed. Why? Because he's a loving father.
Amen.
Look what it says here. Look what it says in the context of that right there. It's purpose in verse number 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. You know what he says? He said, I'm going to show who my children are. So number one, he'll chasten you with the word before he'll get you with a whip. He'll always warn you first. And if you go beyond that word, then guess what he'll do? He'll have to get the switch out. And it hurts. It hurts. What's he saying? Judge yourself and not others. The whole context is judging yourself and not everybody else. Why? It'll get you in fellowship with God, and it'll help you with everybody else, and it'll give you joy in your Christian walk. Now I'm going to tell you this right here. I don't whip other people's kids. Other people's kids cutting up, running around, doing all this stuff. I'm not going to whip them. Why? It's not my kid. Now you wonder why you say, well, why don't the Lord do so-and-so about so-and-so and so-and-so, and this guy here lost the ball in high weeds, and he ain't good. That's not the Lord's kid. Amen. But whenever you belong to the Lord, guess what He's going to do? He's going to convict that heart. And then if He don't get to the heart, guess what He's going to do? He's going to start dealing with you. And I'm not the one to say how He deals with it. I'll tell you this right here. The Bible said you can be chastened right there. That's church age doctrine. What? Chastened of the Lord. Now what I'm telling you is this right here. That whole thing is there to get you in fellowship with the Lord. Why? The Lord wants to have sweet fellowship with you.
That's right.
Man, it's a blessing to be in fellowship with the Lord. I tell you this right here. If you get in fellowship with God, you get to the place where you focus on Him and not on everybody else, it'll help you daily. I can tell you that on the authority of the Bible. Now, won't you do that today? Say, man, that's rough. Right there. I tell you what, it's a blessing. It's something that'll help you. This whole thing there, that thing is about fellowship, and that's something. We take this meal here in a little bit. You don't have to be a member of this church to take a fellowship meal. Now, if you don't want to, that's up to you. And I'm not going to sit here and go, they didn't take it. We see now. Look, that's between you and God. And y'all, that's how things ought to be. Why? Because it's between you and God, not everybody else. This thing is realizing what God done for us, and that He rose again, that one day we're going to be with Him.
Yeah.
And y'all, I've got something to be excited about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You, and Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we...